Welcome to Mental Toughness with Dr. Rob Bell. Each week, Dr. Rob sits down with athletes, executives, and expert coaches to talk about mental toughness and their hinge moment. Here's your host, Dr. Rob.
All these people out there selling these programs of get rich quick and, you know, real estate, learn how to do it my way, and I'm going to teach you how to be successful. Well, at the end of the day, it's like, you got to have passion. You've got to have drive. You got to have the, I will run through a wall for whatever I want to do, and I will do whatever it takes to be able to get to that next level.
So this is episode 139 of the Mental Toughness podcast. You know, some other golf episodes to check out: Adam Shank, Jacob Modleski, Kalen Henderson, Annabelle Pancake, Joe Scovern. They delve into their mental toughness, their mental game, and of course their hinge moments. Our guest today is executive director and founder of the Hurricane Junior Golf Tour. Founded in 2007, the Hurricane Tour has become the largest junior tour in the country, hosting more events than any other. They've had over 350 events in 2023, 20 tournaments in China. They've helped thousands of golfers play golf in college. Our guest today is Mario Conti. Mario, my man, thanks so much, buddy, for taking the time to join us.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Thanks a lot for having me on here this morning.
So your goal when you started the Hurricane Junior Golf Tour was to disrupt and change the industry of junior golf. Back in 2007, I mean, I say that's back in the day. I mean, that time flies, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you say that. It's like every day I feel older and older, and you know, I'm coming across kids that used to play with us that now have kids, and it's making me old. But so yeah, it's been a crazy journey over the last 17 years. I wouldn't change it for anything. We've had a lot of ups and downs, but it's been a great ride. Really has been.
Awesome, man. I mean, I'm a mental coach for many players, and especially those that play your events. They always talk about how great the courses are and how well run the events are. You really pride yourself on that, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, getting golf courses in these, you know, in this day and age right now, post COVID, is certainly a big challenge. But you know, I kind of wish people knew behind the scenes the battles we have to fight to just keep these high end venues and continue to add to our schedule. But you know, since day one, the reason why, you know, I wanted to start this tour was I wanted it to be more of an experience, right? You know, it's one thing going to a golf tournament to be competitive, to try to beat your fellow competitors, but it needs to be also an experience, right? You know, connecting with our staff, connecting with the cities that you're in, connecting with the golf courses, building those lifelong relationships. And when I was a junior golfer, that's what it was all about to me. And I wasn't going to go to the PGA Tour. I unfortunately had to realize that dream, you know, came to a halt, you know, when I was, you know, 17, 18, 19. But for me, you know, playing in these tournaments was all about, you know, building the, you know, the lifelong relationships and the skills. And I mean, I turned it into a business. And not only did it help me, you know, get this business, but it's helped me with other ventures along the way as well. Through my junior golf playing days, learning how to, you know, so many different things, problem solving, you know, connections, you know, traveling, you name it. So it's a great experience for kids and families. And I think, you know, it's awesome to see the rise in golf in general right now.
Yeah. You teed that up nicely, man. I mean, you grew up in Chicago, you started playing golf when you were 7, 8 years old. Obviously the year is limited up there, but what are some of the memories that stand out about when you really started getting serious, like about the age of 10? What stands out to you?
Yeah, I mean, I remember like my dad would take me to, as we called it back in Chicago, I don't even know what they call it anymore, Stop and Sock. It was a driving range, right? And it's like you go over there, you hit balls with these old, like these old clubs that would collect dust and be the old wooden clubs. And I just loved it, you know, and slowly but surely started taking me out to the golf course, and we played 9 holes on the little executive par 3 courses. And then, you know, I just love being outside. I love the game. I love the fact that you could play for the rest of your life. You know, baseball, basketball, hockey, you know, these sports necessarily you can't thrive at a high level until you're 75, 80 years old. Well, golf, you can. And it teaches you so many things about, you know, life and values and manners and everything. And things that I'm trying to instill in my kids right now as well as through the game of golf.
Yeah. What, because I'm always sharing again, I mean, the benefits about golf, I mean, this is a sport that you're going to play your entire life. And my daughter wouldn't take to it because my son took to it so early and he was good. When you think of like the life lessons, what is one in particular that really stands out to you from golf that let's just equate it to how it's impacted like your entrepreneurship journey? What do you think is that biggest lesson from golf that that's impacted your journey?
Oh man, there's so, it's hard to pick out one thing. There's so many that comes to mind, from, you know, integrity to calling yourself out on rules and keeping the scores, you know, accurate scores. And, you know, I would say for me, it would just, you know, the ability to learn how to communicate with other people. When I was young, you know, my parents had dropped me off at the golf course and I was 13, 14 years old. They dropped me off for the entire day and I would have to talk to business executives. And I mean, this is at a local golf course. This isn't even a country club, and learn how to communicate with them. Yes, sir. No, sir. You know, how to talk on a high level, how to be, you know, earn a seat at the table, right? When I'm 13, 14 years old, I mean, I used to play, you know, 35, 40 year old men for $2 a golf hole. And like, you know, it was just learning how to communicate and be accepted into that room and learn those skills at a young age are, you know, irreplaceable, right? And you can't learn that in school. You can't teach people that. It's just by going through it and learn, you know, going through the motions and being able to connect with people and build relationships.
Yeah. Mario, I love that one, man. One of the rules that we always put with my son, what my wife and I, we put in my son was we don't want you playing alone, meaning, now, again, there are going to be exceptions to that, right? I mean, if you have to get out there and you got to play, but you're always playing with somebody. And one of the things that really, man, brings a tear to my eye, like when I hear, wow, like he's really fun to play with, you know, like what a great gentleman, like what a great kid, like that, I don't care how he shoots, you know what I mean? It's just that part right there. And he's getting all these lessons in life that I don't see, but man, and I guess you see it now as a father as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you brought up a good point there. And you know, when you said that, I started going back to nostalgia lane of like me going to the golf course and always wanted to be paired up with somebody else. Like nowadays, it's like the social media generation and texting versus calling. Everyone wants to kind of, you know, it's uncomfortable to play with other people. I enjoyed that so much. I got to know people, where they're from, asked a lot of questions, got comfortable with how to have conversations. And to this day, I never feel uncomfortable just going up to people that are, you know, executives or presidents or what have you. It's just, I learned that in my junior golf days. And that's what I you know, want kids to embrace nowadays is you may not go pro, right? There's a high chance you're not going to go pro, but the skills that you're developing right now are going to be with you for the rest of your life, and embrace them, hone them in right now.
Absolutely, man. My buddy, Mario, I see you get fired up on that stuff, man. I love it, dude.
Because like when you're saying that, I'm like going back to my junior golf days. I miss those days, just going to the golf course and just, you know, with, you know, $5 in my pocket and, you know, going out and playing with other people and getting to know them. It's like, you know, you don't get to have those, you know, the time to do that anymore as much as I used to. And I miss those days.
Right. Absolutely, man.
Hey, good looking. If you like this podcast and are already a badass, but it's all way too complicated, then visit our website, drrobbell.com, and schedule a call with us to help capture your very own Hinge moment.
I always say, like, golf as well, like, you're naked in front of the gods, like, when you're playing golf. Like, yeah, you're in your bubble, but, man, you learn so much about yourself and you learn so much about other people. I mean, you play a round of golf with somebody, you know them more intimately than many of their business partners, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's another, you know, thing that, you know, when you asked me the question about, you know, what did you take away from your junior golf days? I mean, that's another thing, too, is you get a chance to learn how people carry themselves, right? And, you know, I pay attention to how people carry themselves in restaurants, and I pay attention to how people carry themselves in on the golf course. You know, do they have integrity? Are they, you know, are they throwing the ball out in the fairway? You know, just everything, you know, how do they carry themselves? And, You'll learn a lot about that person by spending 4 hours with them on the golf course.
Yeah. Why do you say restaurants? You watch people specifically in restaurants.
That to me is how you treat the wait staff. You know, I worked in restaurants for a very long time. And, you know, how do you treat waiters? How do you treat busboys? How do you treat hostesses when you walk up the stand? And that's important for me. And, you know, I took my son out to a restaurant the other night. And, you know, when you go up to somebody, you smile and you say, yes, sir. No, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You open doors for people. Are you putting plates together on the table for them to make their jobs a little bit easier? Those are like little things that I look for and how people carry themselves.
Yeah, no, great point, man. I mean, it's interesting because it's like my world of like mental coaching and sports psychology. When I hear about mental game, it's stuff I've heard so often. So like working out and running, like it's part of the fabric of who I am. So like the manners and the respect, giving to individuals, a lot of times, like I don't see it until it's evident of the opposite way, you know, like how rude somebody could be. Or it's like, I love going out to eat. So like, I'm always like, when we're going out to eat as a family, like, it's just something, I'm not going to be in a bad mood. You know what I mean? Like, no matter how bad it is, but we're still out to eat, like it's fine. And to, I guess that's what it's just interesting to me when I see it on the opposite end. I'm like, man, like, really got to pray for that person because they really got to be pissed off just because, you know, they had to wait a couple more minutes for their food. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, that's a great point that you bring up, man.
Absolutely.
Sorry for the tangent, but I don't like talking a lot when I'm the podcast host, like asking the questions. So I'll just get back to my lane. But one of the things I'm interested in is always these hinge moments. And, you know, the hinge moment, right? That one person, one moment, one event makes all the difference in our lives. And we were talking before, I mean, obviously we're going to have multiple hinge moments in our life, but can you share with us like one that was really impactful to the tour and entrepreneurship and specifically?
Yeah. You know, it's really hard to come up with, you know, two or three hinge moments, right? I have been blessed in my life that I've had a lot of people that have supported me and it really helps me get to where I am today. I mean, I couldn't possibly thank all the people and all the hinge moments, but they're obviously, you know, you look back to the early days and you're like, well, if this didn't happen, would all those other things happen? And that's what I have to focus on when you ask me, what are the hinge moments? And to me, like a couple of things stand out to me. It's like, you know, in year two, when we were really struggling to get players and, you know, really delivering the message of like, hey, come play with us over, you know, we're the better option. Here's why. IMG Academy was really a big hinge moment for me. And, you know, the two instructors there, you know, who made the decisions, you know, they had 150 kids there and we were mostly in Florida at the time. And, you know, I was like, hey, you know, knocking on their door constantly, like, hey, you know, we're a good option for you. You guys, your kids should come play with us. And finally they decided to meet me in Orlando, which I was in Jacksonville at the time. They were in Sarasota, which they still are. And we met halfway and they just lay down on the table. They're like, you know, we want to support you, but like, here are our concerns. And they gave me a chance. And to this day, 17 years later, they're still one of our biggest supporters. I can't thank them enough. The coaches down there, Mark Reming, Shane Reiser, Tracy Reiser, people that I still, I have mad respect for, and they gave me a chance. And quite frankly, our field started growing and then all the other kids started flowing into the events, seeing that the competition was increasing. And, you know, I owe a lot to them, and I tell that story a lot. And a second hinge moment for me was, we had a parent of a junior golfer. He saw a lot of potential in me. He saw my passion and he basically knew that we were struggling financially. I mean, I was running around in a truck with, you know, eating gas station hot dogs to survive for the first 4 or 5 years. And in the first year, he was able to give us a little bit of sponsorship money to buy necessities like radios for tournaments and, you know, gas to put in the truck. And, you know, I was able to, you know, bring on some support staff to help me out. And his name is Dennis Bruno, and he's in Kentucky. And I owe a lot to him. He was, I think God kind of put him in my life, and I'm really happy for him. And, you know, my very first intern as well, you know, Chris Grillo, he's a good friend of mine. And without him, I none of this happens without those people. So again, I'm very thankful, and I have a lot of gratitude in my life now which I did, you know, wasn't able to focus on early in my career, but now I really, you know, stop and think about those moments a lot.
That's awesome, Mario. Thanks so much for sharing those, bud. I don't think we get to do that too often, you know, and that's the importance of like the Hinge is you and I getting older, like to be able to kind of look back and see the impact and even giving them credit. So, I mean, that's awesome, man. Thank you for sharing that.
Like I said, I could go on and on for days, and I'm sure I'm leaving out 1,000 people, but you know, those are the ones that early on come into mind for me that really got me to 17 years down the road.
Absolutely, man. So you had 20 tournaments in China. Talk to us about that expansion and how that's developed.
Yeah, so China was a huge initiative for us. And, you know, I know junior golf is becoming a lot more popular and thriving over there. But we took our time. We vetted out the right partner. We have a team over there that runs events. And, you know, the Asians have been such a huge part of our growth here and, you know, in the United States, and they support our tour and they've been great, you know, with playing in our events, and we wanted to bring some events to them, and they've been asking for a long, long time, and finally found the right partner. It took me about 3 or 4 years to put this deal together. And a lot went into this. I went over there twice in the last 3 or 4 years, and it's been great. And quite frankly, this is the opening of our international expansion. We have a great staff member, Joy, who basically runs all of our international business development. She actually just signed another country. We're about to release India here very soon. We're about to have 25 to 30 events in India this year. And she's basically got a lot of traction going right now internationally. So we're really excited and passionate about our international expansion.
Yeah, I love it, man. You know, one of the missions for Hurricane Junior Golf Tour is, you know, getting players the availability to play in college. And you do that excellent job in giving them a platform, the fact of, you know, anyone can play in these events. This is sort of like a parent's question, but like I know great golfers who have played D1, who went to D1 schools. And when I'm talking to parents sometimes, I will mention them, look, the 7th or 6th best player on University of Tennessee's roster is a great player, one of the best players you've seen. And he or she doesn't even make the bus, you know, is not even playing in the tournaments. I mean, that's how hard it is sometimes, like at these levels. And I bring this up because, I mean, D2, D3, NAIA golf, I mean, those are excellent opportunities, excellent competition, and they give even more balance to players. I mean, and I know that's one thing that you encourage as well, like for parents to look at all these other options, but I'm just wondering if you could kind of speak some truth into that as well.
Yeah, that's a great point. And that was a big focal point. And as I was growing the tour in the early days, is why are we going to play Hurricane Junior Golf Tour events? And to me, it was very simple, is that there are so many, there's a plethora of options out there. Why do you need to go and try to get into the University of Georgia or Tennessee or Florida when you're not able to make the top 5 and you're going to ride the bench? There's a guy that I know here at my local golf course. He goes to a high-end D1 school. All he's doing is riding the bench. What did he do? He quit the team because he's not playing. And why would you not rather go to a Division II school where you know you're going to consistently play, work on your game, get better? There's so many opportunities out there. I went to a Division II school, St. Leo University in Tampa. I wanted to go to USF. I wanted to go to UCF. I wanted to go to all these big schools. I had no business playing golf there or even trying to play. Even if I would have walked on, I would have lost interest. And there's so many opportunities out there. And the beauty about golf is that like football, you know, you got to go to, you know, the big schools to be recruited by the NFL, what have you. Golf, dude, I mean, you go, you play, you work on your skills. You got to go through the qualifying stages just like almost everybody else. So eventually, you know, keep your skills to a high level, go to Q school and work your way up, or go to the mini tour. So so many great opportunities in golf, and you don't need to go to a high D1 school. And that's where our growth came in big time, is that parents start realizing that, is that I don't need to play the top tour all the time. You know, the junior golf, I could play Hurricane Junior Golf and still be recognized by all the other coaches out there.
Yeah, no, that's awesome, Mario. You know, you have wonderful corporate partnerships. I mean, Ninja Golf, short par four, which I love as well, among others. Do you want to talk about that, for instance, about like the importance of those partnerships?
Yeah, I mean, when I hired one of my main executives, Rex Grainer, he took this tour to the next level. There's just no doubt about it. He's been with me for 2 years now. I mean, the man has he comes in with a wealth of knowledge. He owned his own business for 20 years. He's been able to completely be a game changer in our operation. He's brought on some massive corporate partners: Mizuno, Advent Health, Short Par Four. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. You know, Foresight Sports. He's got, you know, pending deals right now that have been able to enhance the tour and be able to give us the resources we need to be able to continue to disrupt the industry. And, you know, he's going to continue bringing in heavy hitters that will add value to the juniors, but also help us with, you know, scale the operation to enhance the playing opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I love it. The Junior Golf Growth Conference, 3 days, the inaugural. Not the first annual, but the inaugural, July 8th, 9th, and 10th. I mean, you have speakers, man, Merrill Hodge, Coach Herman Edwards. I mean, you have Rudy that's talking. Great event, man. What was the impetus behind setting this up?
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, nothing like this has ever been done in the industry, which is, again, what we're all about. We want to disrupt the industry, and we want to continue doing things that nobody else has ever even thought about. And, you know, I wanted to put this together. You know, I've been to some conferences that have changed my life. And again, going to what we've talked about, right? We want kids to understand, hey, there is life after golf from a business standpoint, from a entrepreneur standpoint, from a whatever it is, right? And we carefully selected all of these speakers, right? And we didn't want to just go after like the pro golfers that will just come in and say, hey, I'm a pro golfer, you know, here's my story, right? And because they have we wanted to bring in people from all different walks of life, mental health. You know, we've got Blair O'Neill coming in, Herne Edwards, Merrill Hodge, who has an unbelievable story with how he's a cancer survivor. It's like, these are things, and I know that, you know, kids are going to see this and be like, well, who is Merrill Hodge? Who is Herm Edwards? You know, even though they're big names out, they're not necessarily in golf, and that's how we wanted it to be. And this is going to be for the value, you know, $550 to come to a world-class resort, you know, food's included. You're getting tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of advice here and coaching and skills that we're bringing all into one place.
Yeah, no, I love it, man. Yeah, it's awesome. It's funny because it's like, very beginning, I said 2007 was back in the day. It really was, right? I mean, that was like Facebook a couple years old back then, man. Like, people have no idea Herman Edwards, right? Like, but these are great. I mean, Merle Hodge, man, I mean, great stories, man. Great speakers that you have coming in, man. It's impactful. It's going to make a big difference.
Yeah, and the challenge for us is like getting the kids and the families, not necessarily the families, the kids to buy into these people, right? Because, you know, let's face it, they're not necessarily playing right now where they're seeing them on SportsCenter and on the golf channels and all that stuff. But these are people that have like been trailblazers and have done massive things that, you know, kids need to hear these stories and see and build these skills that these individuals have. So, I mean, Rudy, I mean, I don't even know if most of the kids have seen that movie, but I mean, it's an absolutely inspiring story, what he was able to do at Notre Dame.
Yeah, indeed, man. Indeed. When 2025 comes around, the second annual, man, I'm going to be a speaker there too, man. I know I can do a good job for you.
We'll have you there for sure.
Want to listen to your favorite music, but you're sick of all the commercial interruptions and negative news today? Tune in to KukoRadio.com. Music for your mindset. We're a commercial-free online radio station playing nothing but hits. Our free iOS and Android apps are available for download at KukoRadio.com.
Mario, what question should I be asking that I've just missed that I haven't asked yet?
I get this. I get this question a lot. Is, you know, what was part, like what got you to where you're at today? And you know, for me, I always like to tell people like the honest, raw, you know, here's what it is, right? And like, at the end of the day, it's like, what were the authentic ingredients, the non-GMO organic ingredients that make you a successful individual, right? And everybody, you know, it's like, it's funny, I was on just scrolling this morning. It's like, all of these people out there selling these programs of get rich quick and, you know, real estate, learn how to do it my way. And I'm going to teach you how to be successful. Well, at the end of the day, it's like, you got to have passion. You've got to have drive. You got to have the, I will run through a wall for whatever I want to do. And I will do whatever it takes to be able to get to that next level. And, you know, these programs, they're going to teach you necessarily the technical ways to get there. But at the end of the day, if you have all those things, like, you're going to figure out a way. When I ran this, I basically just put it out there. I didn't have a business plan. People to this day think that I'm absolutely absurd, that I did not have a business plan, but I would do whatever it takes to get through. And it's okay to make mistakes. I've learned from all my mistakes. I created a real estate business 5 years ago. I would never have thought that I would be able to know the stuff that I know right now about commercial development. Well, I do, because I latched on to mentors. I surrounded myself around high quality people that really cared about me and I care about them. And I was able to figure it out. I didn't need some program to come tell me what to do step by step by step. You know, I just had the drive, the energy, the passion, because I wanted to do it. And that's really what's gotten me to, I mean, I'm training to be a pilot right now. You know, I'm in pilot school, and I've latched on to an instructor that he's an amazing guy. He teaches me, and I just do it by hands-on experience because I want to do it. I don't know the first thing about all, like, I get into an airplane. It's like, you got a lot going on, man. It's like, I have the drive, the passion to want to do it. And I'm not going to learn it from a book. I'm going to learn it from actually doing it. And the fact that I'm going to be up till 3 a.m. studying the, you know, all the things they want me to study, you know, to be able to pass the, to get my pilot certificate. So hopefully all that made sense. But at the end of the day, you just got to go make it happen, man. Like, nobody's going to teach you on YouTube how to be a successful businessman. Like, you either got it in you or you don't.
I love it, buddy. Man, that fires me up. I think you titled the podcast too, man, because I love that, right? The non-GMO ingredients of success, man. That's badass, man. Well said.
Being authentic, being around authentic people. When I made a commitment to myself to surround myself around positive people, you know, a few years ago, and eliminating all the toxicity out of my life, I mean, my life has completely changed for the better. And I've been able to do things that I never in my wildest dreams was able to do. And it's just being authentic and just, you know, focusing on the raw ingredients, passion, drive, energy. You'll develop all that from doing things that you want to do. So don't go into something for the money. Don't go into something because, you know, you have a degree. I mean, how these people have these degrees that they don't want to do what they got a degree for. Like, you're never going to be successful doing something that you don't want to do just because of the money. You can't pay me enough money to be a doctor. I don't know anything about it. I'm not passionate about it. I let those people do what they do.
Martin, I got one more question, man, since we're fired up here. Like, in terms of, like, being a father, like, what's been your biggest, because you have three kids, like, what's been the biggest challenge? What have you learned about yourself when it comes to, you know, parenting?
You're asking a lot of questions that have a lot of answers. I would say patience. You know, most people that know me very well, they're probably laughing if they listen to this podcast, patience, because I didn't have a lot of patience. And to this day, I still struggle with that. But I want things done yesterday, and I expect that out of myself and my team. But I've had to learn a lot of patience. You know, my kids are at ages where they're very rambunctious. You know, they're developing themselves physically and mentally. I've had to learn a lot of patience. You know, it's a journey. You know, my kids unfortunately are not golfers, and I'm okay with that. You know, I have to, you know, accept the fact that they want to play other sports, and they're very good at other sports, you know.
And not golfers yet, though, right? Like, you never know.
Yet, you know, and fortunately, I've seen enough of the good and the bad from the youth sports world, as you've seen from being a father as well. And the last thing I'm going to do is shove something down my kids' throats and say, you have to play golf because dad wants you to play golf. That will never work out. So I bring it up time to time. They laugh and they don't think golf's cool. You know, they like the fact that I have a golf business, but they don't want to play golf. So you know, I support their baseball and their basketball and football dreams.
Yeah, man, when it comes to patience, you know, that's why I wrote the book. I can't wait to be patient. I'll get you a copy of that, man. But Mario, man, thanks so much for sharing your story and just wishing you the best, obviously, this year and in the future. And thanks so much for taking the time, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, it's a pleasure to be on here. And I really wish you the best success moving forward.
Thanks for listening to Mental Toughness with Dr. Rob Bell. To find out more about Dr. Rob, visit his website at drrobbell.com or follow him on Twitter at Dr. Rob Bell. And subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform to get the next episode of Mental Toughness as soon as it's available. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.